Blog Talk Radio. Listeners, this is Chocolate Lady 64, and I'm hoping everyone had a great New Year's. I know I sure did. It's January the 7th, 2010. We are already on the seventh day of the new year. Now, believe it or not, I lost my voice, but it feels so good to be able to talk again. Even though I know my husband probably loved the idea that I couldn't talk, I even took the step to even do a show for New Year's Eve, even though I know I couldn't talk. But I know it was something I had on my heart and I wanted to get it out. Now, I hope everyone is starting their new year off great, okay, in a positive manner, and things are going well for you. I would like to start our new year off with a great beginning. Like I said on my last show, this year we want to focus on doing something good for others. This year we want to every day take time out and tell somebody something encouraging. And I've already started. When I got back to work, couple of people that I talked to, had a conversation with, I made sure in my conversation I said something encouraging to them. And it really does make a difference in your attitude and how you see things when you're talking positive to others and you're getting that feedback. So I thought that was interesting for my first week. I would like to also use this year as a year of learning. I think I had a lot of good topics last year, but I want this year to be more phenomenal. I want to bring a lot of things to you because I'm learning more on how to go about hosting my show. So with what I learn, I want to be able to bring it to you guys. And in my teachings to you guys, you have to understand some of these subjects might not pertain to you, but there might be someone out there that's listening that the information that I have will be able to help them. And if it can't help you, maybe it can help a friend. Like I said, this is a learning period and a learning year, so I will be doing a lot of shows on how to do things and how to go about, because it's just something I like to do. And not only that, I like to keep people informed on a lot of things, and I've told you that before. I'm going to work on my guests. Matter of fact, I talked to one of my guests from the previous year that wrote books, Dr. James Johnson. I talked to him today, and me and him are going to get together and set up another date for his second book. Matter of fact, he's working. He has his third book in his mind, he said, and his fourth book is right behind it. So we're going to discuss his second book that I think he said he just not too long ago finished it. And we're going to do an interview on that. Also, I have another friend, and I'm trying to get in contact with her, that I'm going to bring her on. And the more and more we get into this year, the more interesting my guests are going to be. I promise you. I'm going to do my best to keep that going with the guests. Another thing is, when I'm giving you information, please feel free to back check and make sure that I'm giving you the information correctly. I don't mind if you call me, if you email me and say, Salita, the last segment you had pertaining to such and such, this is what I found out. Let me know so that I can correct what I'm saying when we have our next show. I can correct it on my next show. Most of this information I'm getting, it's my research, digging up stuff from places people usually don't go. So if you think I'm not giving out the correct information, please feel free to let me know that. I don't claim to be an expert at anything we discuss on here. I just try to give out the basic information, and I utilize all my resources to keep you guys informed on any subject that we discuss on here. My call number is, as you know, is 347-677-1749, if you would like to call in. Or did I say that way? Or is it 48? I think it's 347-677-1748. You'll also know that you can contact me at SimSimple64 at Yahoo, and you also can get me on Blog Talk Radio. You can email me there also, ChocolateLady64. Now, I would like to begin a series on working for the federal government, the ups and downs, the rewards and the pitfalls that we can find ourselves in at times. I will say this. Always, and any federal employee that knows the laws and the procedures and policies know you need to know your rights. I say this because I am part of AFGE Local 1972. I am the secretary as of now for the next 2 years, because my first year, basically, I think it's gone almost. So know your rights. We have what we call a master agreement, and it's the agreement between the agency and the employees. Bargaining union employees. And those rights of an employee is in there. And it's very good for you to keep yourself up to date on a lot of laws, policies, and procedures that change within your agency or within any agency, because simply, really, to be honest with you, you never know, you might want to move somewhere else and you'll be familiar with their policies and procedures. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of facts, a few facts, about the federal government. And we're going to do a series on basically how, a couple of segments on the working in the federal government, how to go about doing different things in the federal government. Now, first of all, we want to talk about employment simply because right now federal government is going to be one of the largest employers. Okay, with the idea that, if I'm not mistaken, President Obama is going to be doing a lot of hiring of our vets that are coming back from the different wars that we have them in. And there are a lot of them going to need jobs. So, and you have some that are retiring, which is opening up a lot of jobs for people who don't work or don't have jobs. And when I say that, I'm really pertaining to veterans and also civilian employees. So a lot of positions are going to be opened up, but the funding right now, a lot of this has a lot to do with the money. You have to be able to pay your employees, and each area or each agency has a budget they have to go by. I know it's called FTE, you have to have enough money for the FTE to go through in order for you to hire more people. And the FTE comes out of your budget. And I'm saying that because I work for Veterans Affairs, and I know that's the way we do it on our end. I'm not familiar with a lot of different agencies, but I know in our agency they have to have the money in order to hire, to have new employees. Okay? On this series, working for the federal government, ups and downs and rewards and pitfalls, there are over 3 million employees who work for the federal government. And I said before, the federal government is one of the largest employers in the world. Okay? Let me educate you a little about being an employee for the federal government. And I want to say it from my end, because that's the only end that I'm familiar with. because there's a lot to go with this. We'll talk about, I want somebody to count every time I say because I need to stop that. I should know what I want to say. The benefits of working for the federal government as a civilian, we're titled by grades. It's called grade schedule, GS levels. For instance, a GS-4 can start out as a program support clerk. There's actually three different type of clerks, and I'm using the clerks as a example. You have a program support clerk, you have a program support assistant, and then you have a program support specialist. Now, with those three, they all go under different levels. Now, a program support clerk is usually a GS4, or it can be a 5. Then you have an assistant, a GS. Usually assistant is a 7 and above, and I think a specialist, if I'm not mistaken, is a 8 and above, but a specialist only goes so far. Anytime you have a specialist titled behind the name, any type of job, that means you have a special, you know how to do this job using the special criteria to do, like, education. A lot of stuff can make you or grade you as a specialist, and most of the time specialists are also the higher grades. In the federal system, the grade level starts from 1 all the way up to 15. Let's talk about the salary. A salary of a GS-1 starts around $18,000 a year, maxing out at $22,000 annually. Now, and a GS-15 starts out around $98,000, and it can max all the way up to $127,000 annually. Now, let's don't forget about locality pay. That is like a offset that helps you out, and it's predetermined by the area you live in. Some areas you'll get more money, some areas you won't. It depends on the cost of living in that area. So that's what we call a locality pay. There are over 30 different agencies within the federal government. Occupations, believe it or not, are being created or actually being revived. Some occupations have gone away or phased out, and some are actually taking place of the ones that are being faded out. So there's always jobs. Let's see. There are more than 25 agencies you can choose from to work for. It depends on where you want to work, where you live at, what agency is available in your area that at that time is hiring. This includes Department of Defense, where you know our military workforce falls under. I advise you to visit usajobs.com to search for federal jobs. It is the main website usually to find federal jobs on. Okay. We talk about the process of filing an application, filling out an application for a federal position. I would like to just go over some points because there are always something new that comes along. Each position you apply for has different instructions to complete the package, and it is always a package deal. And you do have to send in everything they request. If you do not, they will not read your application. They will not touch it. If they do touch it, they'll mark it input complete, and that's it. You won't hear nothing from them because you didn't follow the instructions. You have to follow those instructions very carefully. Some things I learned when filling out employee packages or applications. On the web, these are just some of the things. On the website, you can feel like I have on the USA Jobs website, I have a resume already in there. So whenever I apply for a position, I pull it out of there and just upload it into that position I'm applying for. So you can do it online and just have one there for safekeeping in your account. Or you can, you know, do it another way and do your resume or whatever. Whatever they're asking for, whatever their job request, that's what you need to do. What I noticed about filling out applications for the Air Force occupations, most of the time they want it. Most of the time they want it done online, and also they have a battery of tests to answer before you can go into their whole. Before they even look at your stuff, you have to have that stuff filled out, the form filled out, or the questionnaire completed online first, which makes it simple. So all you have to do is shoot it in there and move on. And the Air Force is always hiring. No matter where you look, the Air Force is always hiring for civilians. Now, I noticed, too, a lot of the National Guard and Reserve, there's a lot of those, but they want you to be a member of a particular service before they even consider you to hire. So that's something you have to keep in mind when you're looking at these jobs. Also keep in mind too, a lot of these jobs can pay if you say you chose a job, you put in for it, they can and they choose you, you pass the interview, you go through everything, and they choose you. Some jobs will pay for you to move and some won't. It depends on what the situation is and what their budget is. Allow you to move with them or move to the area. Now, I'm going to break down that whole application part because what I want to do is I want to have one in my hand and I can use it as a sample so that you can, and I can explain to you to best of my knowledge how to fill it out so you can keep it in mind whenever you just so happen go on USA Job and you pull it up and you'll see what I'm talking about. I wish I was doing a television show opposed to a radio show because then I could actually show you everything that's on an application, a federal government application. Okay. Let me go into the benefits that are offered for any person who becomes an employee at the VA, but any federal agency. Well, they have a health and life insurance, which partially is subsidized by the federal government. Say, for instance, if you were hired after January the 1st, 1984, you fall up under the FERS, which is the Federal Employment Retirement System. Okay? Then there's a thrift savings plan, which is voluntarily, and it's similar to a 401k plan. Contributions are tax-deferred and up to a certain point matched by the federal government. Don't ask me what that point is. Okay, you're entitled to sick and leave time. Majority of the time it's 30 days sick and 30 days vacation. The holidays that you're off on are New Year's Day, Martin Luther King's birthday, Washington's birthday, Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, Columbus Day, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, sometimes depending on the situation, non-essential personnel, can be off on Christmas Eve if it's ordered by the president. That's not always true because he might decide that we don't need Christmas Eve off. And I think it also goes for Thanksgiving. I'm not for sure. But those are the holidays that you're off for. Okay? Now, also remember, like I mentioned earlier, you are entitled to become a member of any local union that is in that agency you're working for. Okay? The dues, depending on the area, can be high or they can be low. And it's also depending on the area that you're in and how many members you have, which I think is very, very important to become part of the union. I'm going to push that no matter what. Now, I found some information on bestplacestowork.org, and it gives you tips on finding federal jobs. And like I said, we're going to go much more in depth with the application, or the, I'll say with an application, because I can't talk about a lot of different applications because I'm not really familiar with a lot of them. I can talk about a couple of them that I've done, and they're just general information that you can use once you look at one and just go step by step on and go by that checklist that they're asking for. And I think that was a good idea that some of the applications have a checklist on it so you know that you won't miss anything. Now, once you've decided to pursue a federal job, you should familiarize yourself with different ways to apply and equip yourself with the tools you'll need to succeed. Below, you will find information on how to navigate the application process, how to answer the government knowledge, skills, and abilities, which I'm going to later on give you samples of the KSAs is what they're called, and their questions, and special programs, internships, and other ways to get your foot in the door of the federal government. Now, I will say this, too. Some people do a lot of volunteer work for the federal agencies. And with that volunteer work, you gain knowledge. And that can also be a way to help you get a job. I know a couple of people did that at Veterans Affairs that I work at. And they actually work there, and they've been there for a long time. But they started out as teenagers volunteering. And some grown-ups, you don't have to necessarily be a teenager to volunteer, but some grown-ups also did the same thing and stayed for long periods of time at the facility or agency. You should also explore the range of jobs available. Agencies are required to post vast majority of job openings on the federal government's central job site, which is, like I said before, usajobs.gov. Another key site is studentjobs.gov. This was specifically designed as a place for students to search for jobs, create job seekers profile, and build an electronic resume. And that's what I was talking about earlier, the electronic resume. My words just didn't come out right, or I didn't say the way that I should have said it. Okay, there are five basic steps that will help you find a federal job that is right for you. Number one, do your research on different agencies, then target your job search. Let me repeat that. Do your research on different agencies and then target your job search. When I go look, when I go on USA Jobs, I look at different agencies automatically to see what they have. Matter of fact, there were several places that I looked that wasn't in the job market where I'm at now, in the agency that I'm at now, and I found some very interesting jobs, and I applied for them. Obviously, I didn't get picked, but I did apply for them. Okay, the government may be the nation's largest single employer, but each agency does its own hiring. So that's why when you read those applications, you have to know what you're reading. It says start at usajobs.gov to explore current job openings. And also check the job pages of agencies that are of a particular interest to you to find out about any special hiring initiatives. And when I say that, bonuses, some, if they really need somebody, they'll offer bonuses. They offer, like I said, pay for your relocation some places. Some agencies will if they need you that bad. Some of them will do buyouts, which they'll buy your house, you know, to help you get yourself settled in. Some of them will pay your rent or allow you time to get, you know, pay your hotel or whatever until you find a house. So there's all different kind of ways they'll do to that are incentives to get you to be part of their team. Also, check the job pages of agencies. Okay, we just said that. I'm sorry. Now, I will say this. When you pull up USA Jobs, you go into search jobs. When you do that, the first thing that's going to come up is going to come up with the states, and it's going to have numbers by the states in parentheses. Those numbers indicate how many jobs that are in that state that's open and that are vacant at this time. Let me repeat that. I think it's the agencies first and then the state, if I can put it in my head right. The agencies that are hiring will come up, or you can just go into that agency and it'll tell you whether or not they have any jobs. So the numbers you'll see right off the bat when you go through the states, that's what it is. And like I said, in parentheses, they'll have numbers, and those are how many jobs that are posted on USA Jobs for that particular area. Now, number two is identify the job you want and carefully review the job announcement. And that's what they're called, job announcements. Do you have the experience from prior jobs, school, volunteer activities, internships, civic organizations that they are looking for? So keep in mind, when you're applying for these positions, always, always include any type of voluntary services that you did that can pertain to the position that you're applying for. Okay? Number three, carefully follow the application instructions, and I cannot say that any plainer. Carefully, okay? Most jobs require applicants to respond to a series of knowledge, skills, ability questions, otherwise known as KSAs. Your answer to the questions are very important since they serve as a similar function as a first-round interview. And we will go more in-depth on KSAs. And I will be reading them off to you. I'll be reading the title of the job. I'll be reading the questions, and I'll be reading the answers. And that the way that I read you those answers is exactly the way that you need to answer your application. Okay? Patience is a virtue, and no news may be good news. The federal application process typically takes longer than the private sector. Yes, it does. So don't assume you are out of the running. However, if you need to make a decision and you haven't heard back, follow up. Call the agency contact listed for the job opening. On the back sheet of most of the job openings, when you read everything, they always give you a human resource number, a name, and a number for you to call. For example, because I work in one government agency, I was applying for a position in another government agency, and I called the human resource to make sure that if I can fax it in opposed to mailing it in, and because they decide I could do it, I made sure I faxed everything in. Then I turned around and I called him to make sure that he received everything, and it works. I'm telling you, a phone call will help you much more than you just filling it out and doing everything and miss something. Make sure you're doing everything the way that they're asking on the application or the job announcement. Excuse me. Now, number four. Patience is a virtue. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I just read that, didn't I? Let's see. And most of the time, they have a deadline on the closing. They have a beginning date, and they'll have a closing date. Excuse me. So if you think, I am so sorry. If you think that you're the only one who applied for that position, you are absolutely wrong. You have 1,000 people applying for that position, and it takes longer than what you think simply because the process takes longer, because you got people in there reading resumes, making sure everything, the packets are put together the way they're supposed to. And I'm telling you, if it's not put together correctly, They're not going to call you and tell you you missed something, because that's the whole purpose of the instructions. That's the whole purpose of the job announcement, is that you read it carefully and you do exactly what they say. And they don't have the time. Okay, number 5 says, be prepared. Keep all your records, awards, transcripts, writing samples, reference, and current resume handy for the next steps, such as an interview and or background investigation. They always do a background investigation. Okay? Next subject was KSAs, and I'm just going to hit on those simply because I said earlier that we're going to go into KSAs on my next show. Okay, KSAs, knowledge, skills, and abilities, which are a group of questions that they can ask, and you have to know how to answer them. And like I said, it's like an interview, okay? One aspect of the federal job application process that will likely be new to you is writing the KSAs, and sometimes they can be very troublesome. The one aspect of the federal job application process that will likely be new to you is writing the KSAs. The answer to a set of questions that help determine if you are a good fit for a job based on your combined set of job-related experiences. Okay? Basically, there are the things a person ought to know and be able to do to get a particular job done. In other words, if you're applying for a job as a biologist with the National Institute of Health, the KSAs on the vacancy announcement might sound like this. Knowledge of principles, concepts, and theories of biology, skill in the use of established scientific methods, procedures, and techniques, and ability to analyze and interpret scientific data. Okay? Like I said, we're going to go more into that. Most, by no means all, federal job postings require applicants to deal with KSAs in one form or another. Okay? Keep that in mind. Your task as an applicant is to prove that you indeed have the knowledge, skills, and abilities required, that you are a master of analyzing and interpreting scientific data, that you are highly skilled in the use of established scientific measures and techniques, that you have a vast store of knowledge of the principles, concepts, and theories of biology, and so on. And to prove it, you need to write about it. How much you have to write and in what format depends on the job posting. Everything depends on that job announcement. Okay? Now, we're going to get into key programs for students and recent graduates. And we also, the federal government also has great programs. Okay. Though many agencies have special hiring and training programs for specific high-need areas, such as cybersecurity, there are a few key programs that cut across agencies and offer expedient entry into the federal government, including the Federal Career Intern Program, FCIP. This program brings talented people into the government at the entry level for a 2-year appointment. Eligibility depends on the needs of each individual agency, but these positions must include a training period. Individuals are hired at the GS 5, 7, or 9 pay level, with starting annual salaries of approximately $27,000, $33,000, and $41,000, respectively. After 2 years, successfully federal career interns can be converted non-competitively into a full-time position. For information about openings, contact the agencies in which you're interested directly or visit that website of that agency. Okay? Now, we have what you call a Presidential Management Fellow, which is PMF. And this is designed to prepare talented people for upper-level management positions in the federal government. This prestigious 2-year program is open to any graduate student in his or her final year of study.
An applicant must first be nominated by his or her school and then make it through the program rigorous evaluation process. PMF positions are structured by each individual agency and differ widely. All include some training opportunities and rotational assignments, either within the agency or to another agency or branch of government. In 2006, 338 PMFs were selected to work in the federal government. The Department of State was the largest employer of PMFs, selecting 56. To learn more about this program, you need to visit www.pmfopm.gov. Okay? Next, we have the Student Temporary Employment Program, which is called STEP. Now, the STEP, another name for a temporary internship with a federal agency, is a great way for students to be exposed to the government. These paid positions can range in length from a summer to as long as a student is in school. It is not necessary for the work to be related to the student's academic major, which allows a student to gain experience in a variety of fields. Those enrolled in high school, a two-year or four-year college or university, a technical or vocational school, or a graduate program are eligible to apply. The program requires that student to be a U.S. citizen. In 2007, there was 44,795 students participated in the STEP program. For more information, you can go to www.opm.gov/employstudentsintroASP. Okay? Now, there's also a program called Student Career Experience Program, which is SCEP. SCEP positions for undergraduate and graduate students are internship in the federal agency. The work must be related to the student's area of study and requires the agency to have a formal agreement with the student's institution. If I put on my glasses, I probably can say it correctly. More positions are paid, and students may also receive academic credit. If the student successfully completes 640 hours of work, he or she can be appointed to a permanent position without going through the traditional hiring process. This program requires its students to be U.S. citizens. In 2007, there was 14,715 students participated in the SCEP program. Again, for more information, see www.opm.gov Employee Students Intro ASP. Okay? Now, our next segment we'll discuss, I got 20 more minutes, and I said this earlier, we're going to talk about the knowledge, skills, and abilities, and we'll go over some examples so you'll know what I'm talking about. We'll go through the whole application process because I will be reading a sample application to you, and I'll even pull up the website and go into the website. I'll pick a job, and I'll tell you exactly what's on that application. I'm hoping that throughout this series that you will be able to learn a lot. Please, if you think that you can assist me with any information, and I said that before, at any time, please feel free to email me because I know I will have missed something because this is a subject that is very broad. So I'm just trying to make it as simple as possible just by the by the basics, a simple position, read it off, let you guys kind of put in your mind what I'm talking about when it comes to filling out an application. And it's going to be fun. I'm going to make it as fun as I can. And I don't want to sound like I'm reading all the time because I'm really not. I'm talking, but I'm also making sure I'm giving you guys the right information. Okay. Now, are there any questions out there? Can I help anybody in any kind of way? Before I go anywhere, because I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, I would like for you guys to email me. I would like for you guys to email me to let me know how you feel about the show so far. I really love your feedback. Feel free to do that anytime you want. Like I said, this is a new year, and it's so much that we can learn from each other during this time. I want to play some music for you, kind of break the monotony for a second or two, if you don't mind. Give me a second here. How do you guys like the weather out there? It's cold all across our nation tonight. There's a possibility that down here in Louisiana, that we might not be able to do anything because it might freeze over tonight. So what we did was we brought our dog in because we don't like Rocky to be outside in the cold. But I think he deserves to be somewhere where he can be warm. Our other dog is already an inside dog. Anybody have pets, please bring them in. Please, I don't want to hear about anybody's pet froze because they didn't take care of them like they're supposed to. That'll really, really make me mad if I hear that. I think those are the most upsetting stories, is to hear somebody allow their pet to get sick or freeze to death. Okay.
Oh,
Okay, that was Lettucey. And I want to get to know you. Let's see. Play another one for you. And this is by Nancy Wilson.
Go away.
All right, that was Nancy Wilson and Lettucey, Go Away, Little Boy. I want to play you one more that I like, and it's by Maze, Greatest Hits. I listen to this, it reminds me back in the day. When I say back in the day, when I was a little girl who lived in Albany, New York, and they used to have what we call block parties. I don't know if they still have those. But we used to have block parties. There was bands in the park. I mean, people would just come out and we'd have a good time. Everybody have their picnic blankets, kids playing. Fried chicken, barbecue, beer, the whole nine yards. Everybody's just having a good time during the summertime. In the park, Central Park, Lincoln Park, Washington Park, Albany, New York. I was back in the 70s. You already know my age. Double depth, hopscotch, monkey bars, swings, wise potato chips. Oh. Knee-high soda. strawberry, orange, the ice cream sandwiches that you actually make, big old chunk of Neapolitan ice cream that you buy it separate, then you buy the wafer cracker to go on top of it, the cone that was like a cracker, like a cookie, and you put it together. You can eat on it for a good hour before it really starts to melt. Delicious. I hope you enjoyed that. Greatest Hits of Maze, excuse me. And we listened to Ledisi. We listened to Nancy Wilson. And I really hope that you enjoy that. And I'm going to try to play more music as I go, if I put my timing together. We're down to 3 minutes on the show left, and I would like to invite you guys back again. Like I said, you can contact me at sensible64@yahoo.com, ChocolateLady64, Blog Talk Radio. You know, you can contact me on Blog Talk Radio also. This year, I'm going to try to use my chat while I'm on the phone. I'm still trying to learn that. I might need to get some help on that. As you know, I told you I had a website, But my website is strictly, really right now, under construction. I wiped it out, and I'm starting from scratch because I want mine to be more of information, getting information out, news, and stuff that's going on that's around us. So I'm working on redoing my website. I said that last year, and I'm saying it again this year. I have to really take time out and put it together on paper before I actually put it on my website, because I want it to be where you guys can go in there and see what you need and contact me if you need to. I mean, I want it put together correctly and white and in the way that I want to. Then again, you know, I'm a woman, so, you know, we have to have everything our way. So that's another reason why mine is, I'd rather do it myself, and if I make a mistake, I can correct it. I don't have to call nobody to correct it. I can correct it myself. So be prepared for the website to come up and being launched and put together. And like I said, I'm working on that now. Bear with me on that. I want to say I'm hoping that this gets you off to a good start this year. My next segment, and I noticed that the description of my show was incorrect. I didn't correct it in time because this is about the federal government, but it has another description, and I will correct that, and I'll make sure my next show is just right. You guys have a great evening. I love you. Continue to listen to Blog Talk Radio /Chocolate Lady 64. Good night.